We're going to study the Lord's Prayer just before he, not what we think of it as the Lord's Prayer, but the real, it should be called the Disciples' Prayer. The Lord's Prayer is John 17. Everybody there?
John 17.
These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son, the word also is not there, thy Son may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is the life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that in all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee. And they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I have come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me have I kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Now, that's a lot of words. Remember, John was at most 13 or 14 years old when Christ called the disciples. And he by far is lasted the longest time. He's all the way into the second century. There's some evidence that he was still alive. These words, they're just words until you hear them, what he's doing. I'll go off on a tangent if I start. In verse 11 again, and now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father, through thine own name, those whom thou hast given me, and that they may be one. This idea of one mind, one doctrine, one identity, one life is really the whole of the scriptures. It's not, nobody really cares for what I think or should care. And God doesn't really care what you think, except that it conformed to Scripture. You know, we've had people, well, this is what I think about that. Nobody cares. Remember, the things that have any merit are only the ones that don't change with time. If anything that you're believing changes with time, it's not worth giving it any importance. But they may be one, even as we are one. Well, let's go on. And now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Now, this is about the umpteenth time that says that the world hates you. If the world doesn't hate you, then you're not a disciple. You haven't revealed the mystery of God. Now, that's a terrible thing to say, but it's true. Any response?
I'm not a disciple.
No, you're a believer.
If that's your standard.
Well, it's not my standard, it's the scriptures.
I know there's other scriptures, though, that always counter things. So to make that declaration is pretty dramatic, and I know you're not making it, that's what the word says. But if that's what the standard is, I would say I'm not a disciple.
Let's go back, let's go to John 16. Verse 19. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, and I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Well, it says it a bunch of times. Let's go to one more place, though. Verse 4 of chapter
6. I don't know where you are. Yeah, you, I
couldn't. Oh, that was
it.
John. Was, yes, what yes. I just read was John 15, verse 18.
Okay.
Now we're going back to, no, we're going to where I said we're going, John 16. I'm sorry. These things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogue, or the church. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. Now the word service is that word latrio, that means it's the service of the temple. In other words, the true temple of God, the one in eternity. They will think that God, the time cometh that whoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service or holy service. And these things will I do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you that when the time come you may remember that I told you of them. And these things have I... These things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him and that sent me, and none of you asketh me whither goeth I. But because I have said these things to you, your sorrow hath filled your heart. Well, anyway, it goes on and on. But it's all over the place. If you're his disciple, you're hated. All men will hate you. I mean, at some point, it's got to be that way. And that's when you make yourself known. When your true belief system, when you see everybody that you think you know or you love, you cry out, the cross, the cross, the cross.
Yeah.
How can you say you love somebody if you don't tell them the truth? Anyway, all right, go back. Let's back to. Anybody have any response?
I found that verse number 2. I never understood or heard that before. As thou hast given him power over all flesh. That's kind of cool. As opposed to Satan having power over your flesh. It says Christ has power over your flesh.
Which verse are you in?
2. In 17:2.
But how is that power released in you? That's the eternal question. As my reading of the scriptures, the only way it's the power of God is released is in repentance. But anyway, let's go on here.
I think the gist of the whole 17 is, though, that he is one with his disciples, one with God. And
not with the world.
No, I'm talking about the world. I'm talking about his disciples and the people. And that being one is the source of the power. If you're one with Christ, the power of Christ has power of your flesh. But if you're not, then you're playing in the world. And that would be dangerous, I guess.
We go through this every time, but God nor Christ will never violate your will. He will never violate. He will never force himself upon you. And the only way to release the power of God in you is to repent. And repent of everything that you're doing that has anything to do with the world. That's the standard. Has been, always will be. Anyway, let's go on. Verse 14 again. I have given them thy word, and the world hateth them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou should keep them from the evil, or the evil one, is really what it says. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through the truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I have also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, and they also, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given unto them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect, fully tested, in one, and that this world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and have known that thou hast sent me, and I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. And again, the only way we can think about this is on Pentecost, which is really, they're really, Pentecost and, I mean, Passover and Pentecost are really one feast, and they're connected by the count of the Omer. And on Pentecost, and if the disciples, the 120, hadn't emptied, that's why it happens, so that you will empty, so then Pentecost, there will be an empty vessel for him to fill. And he did that. He on Pentecost, the scriptures say that this mystery of Christ was shed on all flesh. Now, in all flesh, Christ isn't showing himself. Why? Because the temple is filled with another god. You are the evil one. And they can't coexist. And his humility is so great, he could wipe them out with a snap of his finger. But that wouldn't create a disciple. What creates a disciple is continuing with him and his test. Your test was supposedly over at your baptism. Just as Christ, as Son of Man, was his test as a human being was done. And that was dead and buried. And what rose again was Son of God. Now, that Son of God was tested. Then he was tested. And the same thing happens in us. That mystery has to be tested without his power. Otherwise, it's not a test. He just creates automatons. You understand what I'm saying? That's why we are they that continue with him in his test, no longer in our test. That's done with. And this is the whole reason for Passover. This prayer right there. I'm coupling Passover with Pentecost, because again they're tied together by the counting of the Omer.
You know, your comment about the test has to be done without his power, that's magnificent to know that, to see that, because when you're tested there is no power, there's nothing there, there's no strength. There's nothing but the test.
Well, for me, there's nothing but pain. For me, it has been almost nothing but pain.
Right.
Yeah. I've cursed him out. I said you're not worth following. I mean, I've done everything. I've done all of it wrong. Till I know that I know that I know. I don't want anybody to believe. I want you to know. And you'll only know when you're fully tested. Otherwise, you're walking baby steps. And nobody in your life will know what's going on in you, except maybe you share with us.
You know, the scripture talks about he abides faithful. That's what I was hearing while you're talking about cursing him out and all that. He can take it. He's not offended. And he abides continually. And you get through yourself. And at the end, he's there. And you see him. So you don't have to be a good boy or a good girl to be pleasing to God.
But again, when I was blaspheming God 100 times. And then finally that thing happened that I've told you about often, where I was lying on the floor naked in my own feces and urine. I couldn't even think. The pain was so bad. I was curled up into an animal at best. And this voice came out of my mouth. And I have no idea. It's something I would never in a million years have said. I said, "Father, forgive me for wanting to be delivered from pain." Now, that wasn't me that said it, but finally, I saw what it means to say, "My life and my only life is Jesus Christ. I have no other." That's what I pray for each one of you. I pray you don't have to go through that crap that I did. But more than anything in the universe, I want you to be faithful as I have been. I've tried to be, and that's why there's nothing about me you should model except my faith, including the failures of faith. But all of us have done that. But again, I mean, when the church had power, when it went throughout the known world in the end of the first and part of the second century, you know, it was, if they weren't killing you, they were killing your son. I mean, there was no doubt that the world hated them. But you know, the world doesn't hate today's Christians. They just think they're foolish. You're a threat if you believe and you speak and you reveal who you are. You're a threat to every form of thought in the universe. There's only two theologies. We've studied this many times. There's a theology of glory, which is you becoming something, and there's a theology of the cross, which you die. There's no in between. It doesn't matter whether you call yourself Christian, Muslim, atheist. You're still a partaker of one of those two theologies. You can't be both. Well, this is what I want us to celebrate for Passover. Not, again, that we do it just so we go, "Oh, that was neat." But that it has an impact. That you see your death. Stop trying to have one foot in the world and one foot in. If you have one foot in the world and one in eternity, then you have. That can't last. Either you will fall back totally into the world or you'll stop believing. I think I went on a rant again. What? Anyone else have anything?
Can you define sanctification again? Because that's ultimately what these bookends are about.
Sanctification.
Passover, Pentecost.
Yes. The power for sanctification happened on the ability that the disciples had to be sanctified fully happened at Pentecost. But that doesn't mean that they did it automatically. But the capacity, because the Holy Spirit was given to do that. But you have to make room. We don't understand the humility of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. But it's so massive that the Holy Spirit will never, nor Christ, nor the Father will never violate your will. So the only way you see them is through repentance. And it's not, "Oh, I repented of that a long time ago." No, it's, "Have I repented of that today, this second?" Well, I don't know what's going to happen if I repent. Then say that. Say, Father, I don't know what else to do besides what I'm doing. But don't ever once justify yourself. Then what it is, what is it? It says, you are they that justify yourselves, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination unto God. So if your value system still esteems things in the world, watch out. Let this Passover be your death. Because if it isn't, then you're just keeping the evil one alive. There's never been, you have never existed as an independent self. And that's what's so hard for us to believe. You've always been a vessel for deity. That's what that word, when I made man in my own image. That's the start. And then it became likeness. That's the same image as the glove. He made you to be a container for deity. At your birth, you were a container for the evil one. And I pray that you've stopped doing that. You've seen the emptiness of the evil one. But there's never been a you that existed. You've either been the vessel named you of the evil one, or the vessel named you as of Jesus Christ. I mean, I'm going to do it one more time. I'm going to do it. O Jesus Christ, thou Son of God, my own eternal life, live thou thy life in me, do thou thy will in me, be thou made flesh in me. I have no self but thee, I have no will but thine. O Jesus Christ, thou Son of God. That's what it means to be a believer. Encapsulated in that one little ditty. Well, did that come from the scripture? No, but every word in it came from the scripture. It wasn't arranged in that manner. Consider these things. Take a big guy.